Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So on Friday, of course, we celebrated the feast day of St. Patrick, the Enlightener of Ireland. St. Patrick was a Briton, probably born in Wales, a native Roman citizen. He was abducted by pagan Irish marauders who took him over to the island of Ireland and enslaved him. And he, even though he had been raised as a Christian, stayed there enslaved until he could, in the midst of pagans, until he could make his escape. When he did so, he began to take seriously for the first time in his life, according to his own autobiography, his own faith. And after training in monasteries and being ordained as a bishop, eventually he was actually sent with the blessing of the Unified Orthodox Church back to the island of Ireland and began probably one of the most successful single missionary efforts in the history of the church. People don't know a lot of that history of St. Patrick, but if you had to ask Joe Schmo on the street what he knows about St. Patrick, he would probably tell you he drove out all the snakes from Ireland. That, for some reason, seems to be one of the most famous sort of stories about St. Patrick. He is the one who chased the snakes out of Ireland. Now, of course, Slate.com and plenty of other online things love to point out that there were probably never snakes in Ireland to begin with, and it's ridiculous to say that St. Patrick drove out the snakes in Ireland. Well, that's well and good. It's fine that there were maybe never any actual snakes on the island of Ireland, but there were demons living in the island of Ireland. The snakes are metaphorical. They refer to the forces of evil. In the gospel, when Jesus sends out the 70 or 72, depending on your translation, to the various towns and cities around him, they come back overjoyed because they were able to cast out demons. Now, Jesus says, yeah, I gave you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and nothing shall hurt you. When he refers to serpents and scorpions, of course, he's talking about forces of evil, the demons. And this was Patrick's authority when he went into Ireland to bring the light of the gospel. In so doing, he also was able to stand up to the forces of evil that had been freely exercising their evil in Ireland. And so St. Patrick, when he drove them out, this is what he did. He brought the gospel and the authority of Jesus into a land filled with snakes and was able to trample them underfoot without being hurt. So serpents as a symbol for evil are a common feature in Christianity. Serpents have also been used as a symbol for poison. Famously in the medal of St. Benedict, the St. Benedict medal, there is a little feature on that. It shows, of course, St. Benedict. It has some words around there, a prayer of Benedict, but it also, there's a little symbol of a cup with a snake in it, and that represents a story when Benedict, who I guess had angered a certain group of his own monks who wanted to off him. They actually poisoned his drink. And Benedict, before consuming it, made the sign of the cross over it, as presumably he did with all of his food and drink. And when he made the sign of the cross, the cup shattered, and he was saved from the poison of the cup. So serpents have been used as sort of a way of visually representing poison. It's interesting that serpents both represent devils, evil, but also poison, because the evil of devils is like a poison. In our gospel story this morning, someone was afflicted with muteness. He couldn't speak because of a devil, demon living inside him. There are other examples in the Gospels of people who were afflicted with various other problems because of devils living inside them. It's always harmful. It's always a poison. It's always something that affects us negatively. So with Christ, power and the authority of Christ, we actually have a strength and authority over these forces, these poisons and evils. But that doesn't mean that we are then to tempt them. The authority over serpents with St. Benedict or St. Paul, the story where he's around a campfire and a snake bites his hand and he just throws it into the fire and everyone around him was amazed that he ended up not being hurt. Well, Paul didn't play with the snake to show everyone, no, look, he can bite me 30 times and I won't be hurt. Or, you know, Benedict didn't say, oh, well, that's okay, I'll just, try it again with another poison cup and I'll show you how the power of Christ will keep me from harm. Now, the point of the authority to trample over serpents is to trample them, to cast them away, to squish them, to get rid of them, not to handle them. And this is something, you know, those snake handlers out in the woods in Appalachia misunderstand. You don't show your power over serpents by picking them up and testing them. But we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We misunderstand the freedom of Christ and the power of Christ and God's intention in protecting and preserving us when we tempt snakes as well. And we do this through putting ourselves in proximity to temptations that we know are filled with snakes, whether it's people that we hang around when we know we shouldn't. That's not to say that, you know, we shouldn't be around people and love them when we can, but sometimes certain people make us into snakes ourselves, and they have a worse influence over us than we could have a positive over them. If that's the case, then you just need to avoid those people and not play with the snakes. Sometimes it's our media consumption, the things that we watch or listen to. We think we are gaining an education or judging it by its artistic merits or something, but if in consuming various entertainment, you know, movies, TV shows, etc., it actually leads us farther away from Christ or it causes us to sin and stumble, then that's again us tempting the snakes and playing with them when we shouldn't. So just like the snake handlers who misunderstand the point of the authority to tread over serpents, when we handle instead of tread serpents, we too risk the very real possibility of being bitten and not recovering as easily. So there's one more aspect of all of this that I think we can misunderstand in terms of image of a serpent. That image is used because of what serpents are like. They're sneaky, they're crawly, they're slithery. You're not sure which way they're going to be headed. They find ways into our hearts and our homes that we wouldn't have expected. And then they can bite us and poison us. But all of this may make us miss the fact that evil is not just poison, or it's not just a force out there. Evil is personified. Evil is personal. It's always devils. It's always the tempter. It's never just evil. Some people have a problem with our translation of the Lord's Prayer when at the end we say, and deliver us from evil. It's a little ambiguous in the original language. There are two versions in the Gospels, I think, and one could be interpreted as a more generalized word for evil. Some people prefer that we translate it as delivers from the evil one. I think either are fine, as long as we know that delivering us from evil, when we pray that, we mean deliver us from those personal forces that seek to do us harm. Evil isn't a feature in the world that God created. Evil is a parasitic reality that comes when creatures of free will choose to turn away from God. And so we, of course, believe that there are powers out there, created powers, not set up on their own. These will be subject to God in the end. They are now, but for whatever reason, they still have some freedom to move around and work, some authority. But these forces, these creatures, just like us, personal creatures, are in rebellion against God, and what we see as a result of that rebellion, we call evil. I don't think hurricanes and lightning storms and, you know, chaos in sort of the natural world necessarily is a result of personal evil. I think those might be features of the good world that God created, but they seem to us to be evil because we of ourselves have no power over them. However, Christ is easily able to calm a storm just by his mere words. He's able to walk out upon the water in the midst of a storm and not be hurt. And even Peter, a mere creature, is able to share in that power over the forces of nature when Jesus invites him to come and meet him out on the water. So forces of nature can be difficult to deal with in our current circumstances, but you know, God is in control of that, and I think that's a different type of thing than the personal forces of evil that we deal with when we're talking about the serpents. Our hymn that we sang, "Christian, dost thou see them?" That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about sickness or storms or chaos in nature. It's talking about the personal forces that would seek to do us harm. "Christian, dost thou see them on the holy ground? How the powers of darkness compass thee around? Christian, dost thou feel them? How they work within, striving, tempting, luring, urging into sin? Christian, dost thou hear them? How they speak thee fair? Always fast and vigil, always watch in prayer?" These are the serpents that we deal with on a daily basis in our own lives. These are the serpents that, if they are given a foothold, will actually take up residence in our lives and in our hearts. These are the serpents that Christ cast out in today's gospel, and the serpents that were tread underfoot by the 70 apostles when they were sent out. These are the serpents that St. Patrick banished from every portion of Ireland as he traveled to it. And the eviction of serpents is one of the main purposes of the season of Lent that we are in now. So I pray that the eviction of serpents always stays close to our hearts and in our minds as a goal and as a feature of the Christian life. Because as the last verse of our hymn states, Christ knows our trouble. He knows that we're weary with this, and that he was weary too, fighting serpents, struggling, fasting. But he reminds us that this toil shall make us someday all his own, and the end of sorrow shall be near his throne. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.